Hallelujah. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. It's just a way of saying that when we are worshiping God, he is there. I know he's everywhere, but he just comes down in a special way when we are worshiping him. It says that it's a good smell to him. I don't know how sound works with smell, but it says it's a good smell. He loves it. He loves it when we worship him. And this church is all about lifting God up. We're not glorifying ourselves here. We're not glorifying this pulpit or this building. We're about lifting God up, and that's what we're doing this morning. Praise God. Praise God. For us to start this morning, I want to read a verse. I want to read a verse in 1 John 1, verse 5. 1 John 1, verse 5 says this. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanses us from all sin. Praise God. 1 John 1, 5 through 7. You can be seated this morning. Before I start, I want to just remind us, maybe you're new, maybe you're like, what is this church all about? Well, let me tell you what our mission is. Our mission at Calvary Gospel Church is to, number one, our mission is to know God, to love others, and to go with purpose. And to disciple other people to do the same ways. We get this from the Bible. Jesus said, when somebody said, what's the most important commandment? He says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And before Jesus ascends into heaven, he gives his disciples one last thing, and he says, you should go and make disciples, baptizing. And you're going to see signs. There's going to be great things because the power of the Spirit was with you. And so our mission at Calvary Gospel Church is to know God, to love others, and to go with purpose, and disciple others to do the same. Where we hope to become, our vision, is that we envision becoming a Spirit-led city on a hill. It's really cool. Actually, we are on a hill. You don't know it. We're about 150 feet above ground level at where the Capitol and the lakes are. 150 feet above ground level. We envision becoming a Spirit-led city on a hill, glorifying God so people are drawn to the light of Jesus for help and hope, and disciples are sent into every community by the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to be a church. We want to be a community that glorifies God. That's our number one. That's what we do. We glorify God in knowing him. We glorify God in loving others. We glorify God in going with the purpose and the giftings that he's given us individually. We glorify God by discipling people because that's what he's commanded us to do. But as an entity, as a community, we'll call it, we glorify God by being a light that draws and being a city that sends that light out. Praise God. That's who we are as Calvary Gospel Church. We take some of that from Matthew 5, 14 through 16, where Jesus is talking and he says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This idea of light is very interesting. If you can bear with me here, we're going to go through a little bit of a science. I do not claim to be a science nerd. I looked all this up. Okay. Light is interesting. Let me tell you some interesting things about light. Light is actually a kind of energy. It travels from place to place, carrying power and information. Light is weird because it acts like two different things at one time. Sometimes light acts like a wave, like ripples in water, but sometimes it acts like tiny little particles or little packets of energy. Nothing else in nature acts like light in this way. Nothing else really does this where it kind of acts like these two things or two things at once. It's interesting that light has no weight. You cannot measure the weight or the mass of light, but light can still push things. Even though light has no mass, it still has energy, because I said it's a kind of energy, and it can actually push objects. That's how solar sails work. They put sails up, and the light of the sun moves things along. Light is the fastest thing there is that we know. In empty space, like in a vacuum, light can travel 186,000 miles per second. Nothing with weight can go that fast. The universe uses light to measure. The universe uses it. That's how we measure time. That's how we measure distance. That's how we measure cause and effect. If light did not work the way I've described it, the whole universe would not make sense. The whole idea of the universe and the physics and the math and how everything works is all because of what we know about light. And what's another interesting thing about light? Light doesn't need anything to travel through. Think about this. Sound, you need air. Sound needs to travel through air. Waves typically travel through water, but light needs nothing. Light can travel through empty space. It can travel to the space between stars. It can travel billions of miles across the universe. It needs nothing to travel through. And that's why darkness isn't really a thing. There's no such thing as, there's such thing as darkness, but really darkness is just a place where light doesn't exist. Darkness is the absence of light. It's not like you have darkness and you have light. You have light, and where light isn't, that's where darkness happens to be. Another thing, light carries information. Everything you see is light bringing you messages with your eyes. Think about it. Color tells you what kind of light it is. Brightness, these are settings on your TV, if you go, you can your phone. Brightness tells you how much light there is. Shape tells you where the light came from, maybe shadows and stuff, right? Motion tells you if something's moving. Your eye doesn't actually see objects in the way we think it is. It reads reflected light, and our brain figures it out. Light works by interacting with things. It hits atoms and electrons. It starts chemical reactions. It turns signals on in your eyes and in your brain. If you have too little light, you can't see anything. If you have too much light, your eyes get overwhelmed and you get blinded. You've looked into a spotlight or a fire for too long, I'm sure. That's why light will help you to see slowly. Light gradually reveals things, but it can blind you suddenly. Light is both immediate and ancient. The sunlight that hits your face today, assuming the clouds are gone, left the sun 8 minutes ago. The sunlight that hits your face today left the sun 8 minutes ago. Lights that we see from stars at night, what you can see, some of them have started traveling when the earth was just created. Light is both immediate and ancient. Overall, though, light shows us what is real. It shows us what is real, but it's way bigger, older, and more powerful than we actually think. Light reveals what is there, even when we couldn't see it before. That's the main concept of light that we're noticing, is that with light, it reveals things. It helps us to see things. It helps us to recognize things. It helps us to know that something exists or not. Maybe that's why at the beginning of the Bible, the first book we read, it starts with Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. So we learned that there's a God, right? Created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and what covered? Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. So there's darkness. Spirit of God is hovering. It says formless and empty. And then we get the first spoken words of God that are recorded. And God says in verse 3, now God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw in verse 4 that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. So he's starting to show us what this means, right? God separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and he called the darkness night. There was an evening, and there was a morning one day. It's interesting that the world starts with darkness. It's interesting that at the beginning, the first thing we read about is darkness. And the first recorded words are, let there be light. God's first creative act was to speak and to create light. And when he did, he saw that it was good. And he divided the light from the darkness. Notice at this time, there's no sun, there's no moon, and there's no stars. Well, what do you mean? He said, well, we can see that later. We can see in Genesis 1:14, it says, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light, which we know is a reflection of the original light, that's the moon, to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, and divided the light from the darkness, and that's the fourth day. And so we see that light comes from God. Light precedes the sun in the Bible. Well, even though that the sun was created on day four and the moon and the stars were on day four, light was created on day one. And so the sun does not create light. The sun, S-U-N, is not the source of light. Instead, the sun and the moon are assigned to govern light. That's why he says he's created to put the lights in the firmaments of the heavens to divide the day from the night and let them be for signs and seasons and days and years. The sun and the moon and the stars help us define time. It's assigned to govern light. And so as we're looking at Genesis, we see these concepts that light comes from God, light provides illumination, light distinguishes from darkness, and that with light, after we start light, then we start to see life in the world. It's interesting when you read Genesis 1 and you read this creation story, and I know it's longer than Genesis 1, but this order of events really closely parallels another book in the Bible. The opening of the Old Testament begins with creation and God and darkness and light and the creation of light. And then the disciple John, in the Gospel of John, begins his gospel with a parallel to the same beginning in Genesis. He too discusses the concept of creation and light coming into the world. He's going to tell the same story, but man, he puts a spin on it. Now keep in mind, John may or may not, depend if you watch The Chosen or not, John may or may not have been writing along the way, or he might have wrote it after Jesus died, said, I got to write this all, right? Who knows, maybe both. But he's telling the story with information he already has. And so let's start in John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Oh, that sounds very similar. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, this makes sense. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. I don't know if they put it up yet, but this morning I want to talk on the power of light. The power of light. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness, if you look at the New King James or the King James, it says it doesn't comprehend it. That's the way they chose to translate the Greek word. It doesn't comprehend it. In the Christian Standard Bible, it uses the phrase, it doesn't overcome it. So we see the same, if we're looking at this in paralleling Genesis, we see the same concept of starting with darkness. But John uses this word that the darkness is there and the light comes in and the darkness can't comprehend it. It can't overcome it. John likes to layer some meanings on this. You could look at it and say, well, I'm going to translate it, the darkness doesn't comprehend it. You could also look at it and say, well, the darkness can't overcome it. Well, John got to know the story, so he knew that the darkness didn't overcome this light, right? But he also knows the darkness couldn't make sense of it, okay? Darkness couldn't understand the light, and it couldn't beat the light either. The light wasn't just confusing to darkness. The light was unstoppable to darkness. By definition, where there is light, there is no darkness. And for the record, darkness will never be able to beat light, because it's not a thing. It only exists when light isn't there. So he starts out, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, all things were created through him. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. So once again, we start with darkness, there's creation, there was life, that life was the light of men, that light shined into darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend or overcome it. In verses 6 and 7, we're introduced to John the Baptist, not John, the one that wrote the book. It says there was a man sent from God, his name was John, blah, blah, blah. And then in verse 8 it says, talking about John, he was not that light. Just so we're clear, I'm writing a book. I'm telling you about John the Baptist. John the Baptist is not the light that I'm telling you about. But John the Baptist came to testify about that light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So he's saying, John was here to testify about the light I was just telling you about. The light that shines in the darkness. The darkness cannot comprehend it. The darkness cannot overcome it. It doesn't make sense to the darkness, and the darkness can do nothing about it. John was here to tell us about that light. And then he goes on, he says, he was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. We're starting to see who John is talking about now. John is not talking about energy. He's not talking about something that this thing that we would know as light, or maybe the same way as described in Genesis. John is introducing us to Jesus. It is interesting that in the same way we are introduced to God and light, John introduces us to Jesus. It starts with darkness and light shines. It starts with darkness in the world and Jesus comes in. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the light. Jesus is the Word that's being talked about here. That puts a little perspective into this idea of Psalms 119, 105, where it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He's showing us here this idea that Jesus is not just a man. He's showing us that we know about life. We know light. We know light reveals truth. We know it reveals what is right. We know it reveals direction. We know it reveals hope, because now we can see a different way. And he's saying, that's Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. It says in verse 11, he came to his own. He's talking about Jesus. And his own people did not receive him. He's reiterating that people were in darkness when Jesus came to the earth. Just like in creation starts with darkness, when Jesus came to the earth, there was darkness. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of natural descent or of the will of flesh, but of the will of man, but of God. John is introducing us to Jesus as the light of the world. Just like when the light was created at the beginning and God said, let there be light, Jesus stepped into the world that was spiritually dark. There was a sun, there was moon, there was fires, there was light. But that's a different light. We're talking about the light of the world. And it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we observed his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This idea of glory is that we saw his honor, his splendor, his greatness, his radiance. There's a story in the Old Testament when Moses goes up on the mountain to meet with God. He's like, God, I want to see your glory. I'm paraphrasing. I'm probably going to get some small details wrong, but I want to see your glory. And God's like, you can't see my glory. You die. Remember, too much light, you're going to blind. You can't, you're going to die. He's like, you just hide in this rock here behind here, and I'm just going to pass by, and you're going to kind of get to see maybe my back. That's what you're going to get to see. And Moses is like, okay. And he does this like, whoa, and he sees the glory of God, and he comes down the mountain, and his face is so radiant, having seen just the back of God's glory. His face is so radiant that people can't look him in the face. And so when it says that we observed his glory, we're seeing that we see the glory of God in Jesus Christ. It is God dwelling with us. We didn't just see his miracles and hear his teachings. We encountered God's presence in human life. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word dwelt means he tented or tabernacled or camped with us. It wasn't from on high just casting down things. It's like, no, God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory now. And it was kind of veiled in a way because it was behind a human body. But we beheld his glory, and yet so many people rejected him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Jesus was the manifestation of God's glory here on earth. This idea of glory is, like I said, we're talking about honor and splendor and greatness, his radiance. And God's glory in this case is what we see when God's presence becomes visible and undeniable. 2 Corinthians, Paul's talking to the church in Corinth, chapter 4, verse 3. He says this, he says, but if our gospel is veiled, They might say hid. For gospel is veiled. It is veiled to those who are perishing. And in their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. This is a key note here. It says, we're going to break this up. The God of this age, it's a lowercase g, right? He's talking about the God of this age. Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil, against spiritual forces in heaven. That's why in 2 Corinthians 10, it also says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So it says, in this case, we'll go back to 2 Corinthians 4, in their case, the people that the gospel is hid to, why is it hid? Because the God of this age, the devil, the one who opposes Jesus, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. It's interesting here that Satan, the God of this age, blinds the mind, not the eyes. He blinds the mind and inhibits our ability to then perceive light. Because remember what I said, it's out there. Our brain takes that information and says what it means, right? And so if the devil can blind how we perceive things, how we think about things, how we understand things, he can change what we think and how we act. Because he's going to redefine what is true. That's why the Bible calls the devil the father of lies. And so with this blindness, there's an inability to perceive truth rightly, not able to perceive truth. We see in this verse that we can live in a physical world and see physical things, but at the same time be in spiritual darkness. You cannot remove the light of God. This is interesting. You cannot remove the light of God, but you can distract from it. The devil cannot take away the light of God, but he can distract us from it. He can have us focus on other things. He can have us look down. He can have us look at our situations. He can have us look at what we're going through. He can have us look at what some blog or YouTube post is saying and not what God's word is saying. He can have us focus on the things of this world and not the things of God. And in doing so, he blinds our mind. We talked on Wednesday night about how we start to get our minds blinded. We start to then focus on the wrong things. And next thing you know, we're serving, well, let's just say not God. He blinds our minds. He knows he cannot remove light, but he can take you from thinking about it. He can take you from focusing on it. He can take you and have you think about it differently if we will entertain the thoughts that he is speaking into our lives. And why is that? Well, it says because he doesn't want us to see the light of the God. It says to keep them from seeing the light of the good news of the glory of Jesus Christ. Everything he does is about keeping us from seeing the light of the good news of the glory of Jesus Christ. Verse 5. For we are not proclaiming ourselves, I'm not saying this about me, this is Paul, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness. I think the King James says, for the God who said, let there be light. For the God who said, let light shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. It's all about us experiencing God in Jesus Christ. It is him coming to earth in the form of a man. It says he took upon him the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of man. Praise God. It's a different doctrine, sorry. But we see that it says to give the light he has shown in our hearts, to give the, this could be like 20 messages, okay? I'm trying to put this into a couple paragraphs. Okay, I get it, okay? He has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. It is in Jesus Christ that we see God. The same God who said, let there be light, is now revealing to us himself in the face of Jesus Christ. But to the world, Christ's identity is hidden. Oh, he's a good prophet. He's a good teacher. He's a good rabbi. And that's why God himself must shine the light into our hearts. Jesus is the visible manifestation of God, not a reflection of God. We don't just accept Jesus. We don't just say, there's a light, cool. We respond to that. Maybe that's why Jesus starts his ministry and in Matthew 4, before the Beatitudes and all that, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 4, 16, it's quoting from Isaiah. It says, the people who lived in darkness have seen a great light, and for those living in the land of the shadow of the death, a light has dawned. From then on, so it's prophesying that Jesus is now to the earth, is now on earth, and a light has dawned in darkness. From then on, Jesus began to preach repentance because the kingdom of heaven has come near. It's a similar theme. There was darkness before Jesus came. Jesus is the light. And then we add a layer. Because it says this, that now light has dawned. And the first thing is repent. Turn from your kingdom of darkness. Turn from the choices that are leaving you in darkness. And turn towards the light. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance is a biblical word. You don't see it used much when you're walking around the street. But it's this idea of turning, of changing our minds and our actions. And in this case, when it says Jesus, the light has dawned in darkness. And then he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That could be, hey, you big giant losers, quit doing what you're doing. Maybe we could word it that way. It could also be, hey, this isn't working. Turn your way around and follow me. Follow the light that has dawned. Because this is the light that brings life. He says in John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus told us this himself. I love all the times when Jesus, it's funny because, it's not funny, I always say that. It's interesting. It's interesting when Moses is experiencing God in the burning bush, and he's like, well, who should I say sent me? And he said, I am that I am. Essentially, I exist. Like, that's not really the name God, but we'll go with it. And so he says, I am. And then Jesus comes to the earth and he starts saying, I am all the time. It's really interesting. He says, I am the light of the world. He's not saying I'm a light to the world. He's saying, I am the light that existed. I am the light of the world. He is revealing his deity. Remember, light is all about illumination. Light reveals. And so when we believe on Jesus, that's kind of like, yeah, I believe that light's warm. But this verse adds more layer because we go from talking about a light and noticing a light to actually interacting with and being with that light. We see that you can notice and admire the light, but following that light, doing what it says actually produces life in our life. Life in our life. And so this whole idea of the Bible introducing us to light and then John introducing us to Jesus as that light is pointing us to that if we want to be out of darkness, we got to follow Jesus. If we want the new way of doing things, we got to leave our way and we got to turn to the things of Jesus. Jesus isn't just a man. Jesus is God. Just like light, it's hard to explain how all these things happen. Jesus is a person. He's a way of living. He's a process that we're a part of. We get in and follow the light. Let me give you an example. He says it himself in John 11, 35. He says, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. See it again. When you're with the light, darkness doesn't overtake you. If you're not with the light, darkness can overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. And while you have the light, believe in the light that you may become the sons of light. He's talking about becoming the sons of God. And in 1 John 1, 5, 7, 1, 5 7, we read this at the start. It says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him," if we say, yeah, that's my God, I'm with him, I'm following Jesus, but if we walk in darkness and don't practice the truth, sorry, then we lie. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We see it again. God is light. By definition, darkness does not exist in him. Darkness occurs when we claim independence from him. But if we will walk in the light, if we will walk in the truth, if we will walk in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he has done in this earth, if we will follow what he has done and the example he's given us in his life and in his death, we can have life in our life. It's not just believing. This idea of, well, that's cool. Yes, I accept that there's a light there. I accept that it's warm. I believe that it will help me. But I'm going to obey. And I'm going to take advantage of the warmth of that light. It's very different. That's why this whole thing is about following Jesus, not acknowledging Jesus. This idea of the light is a different way that brings warmth and comfort and help and hope. Jesus brings help everywhere he went. Everywhere he went, he was helping people. Everywhere. And if we begin to walk in the light, to follow Jesus, then we go from admiring the light to being in the light. And when we are in the light, we are the sons and the daughters of that light. It's all a choice, though. Adam and Eve had a choice, right? They had a choice. We could choose to walk in the light, or we could choose to walk not in the light and be in darkness. So why do we avoid this? Why do we avoid the light? Well, John 3:19 says this. John talked a lot about the light. I know I've given you a lot of light verses. John is, I only gave you like a tenth or less of what he's talked about. John 3:19 says this, and this is the condemnation. This is the problem. That the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Well, why would you love darkness rather than light? Well, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. There is a lie from the devil that says that you are we're all sinners. But the lie is not that you're a sinner. He'll take that truth and add to it and say, and because of that, you're not acceptable. God doesn't want you. If you're not good enough, you can't come to this area and pray. You can't raise your hands and worship. Your sin is too big. Your past is too bad. And because of that, don't even try to come to the light. Just stay in the darkness. In fact, if you go and you get to know God, that light's going to shine in your darkness. And it's going to show all the bad things in your life. So you might as well just stay in the darkness. And we live in fear and we live in shame and we live in isolation. And the light is beckoning for us. The warm, revealing, glowing, loving light of Jesus Christ. But the devil's got us in that lie. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Light illuminates. Light reveals. That's what it's supposed to do. But it doesn't reveal your sins. It doesn't show you what you've done wrong so it can laugh at you. It doesn't say it so you can judge you. Light is not there to put a spotlight on your big giant failure of a life or your bad decisions. Light is there to say, okay, now that we know it's there, if we will walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. See, that's another thing about light. Light is a cleansing thing. Light cleanses. They literally take babies and people and they'll put them under the light to help them feel better. I'm not talking about like the sun tanning booths. But we're so afraid he has blinded our minds to think that this light is damaging to me. But that light isn't damaging. That light is to heal me. It's to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. It's to give me better relationships with my friends. It says we have fellowship with one another. That's what the light does when I walk in the light. But I'm afraid of it. Because what will Jordan say when he knows about me? What will he say if I come here and I raise my hands and I talk to God? What will these people think? Well, I'll tell you what they will think. They won't know anything if it's in the darkness. And don't go post all your stuff on Facebook. My point is that the devil wants to cloud our viewpoint of what the light is. The light is a good thing. It is Jesus Christ in his life, in his death. And if we will follow that, if we will follow what Jesus has done in our lives, we can have light in our lives. There's a scholar that said, Satan can only blind those who don't believe. And if you're tired of having your mind blinded by the God of this age, if you're tired of having your mind blinded by the God of this age, then put your trust in Jesus and what he did for you. And then Satan can't blind you anymore, because if you walk in the light, you're not in darkness. Let's stand. The Bible starts with darkness. Well, it starts with God, in the beginning God. But it starts with darkness and nothing, and God speaks and creates light. And do you know how the Bible ends? The exact opposite. Well, Revelations 22, verse 5. It's describing heaven. This is the last chapter of the Bible. It's describing heaven, and it says, night will be no more. People will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. This whole story of the Bible is about starting with darkness and turning it into light. From Genesis 1:3 to Revelation 22:5, the whole story is about turning from darkness to light. It's about transforming us, transforming our way of thinking, having us turn from our worldly, earthly, dark ways and turning to light, where there's warmth and comfort. And yes, it's going to be difficult, but God is with us. And he's cleansing us. Yeah, but Peter, you don't know. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've done. I'm not special. This is for people that have been chosen and selected. 1 Peter 2:9 says this. But you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. I don't feel royal, Peter. It's not what the light says. The light says you're chosen. The light says you're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You are his own special people. That's the lie the devil wants you not to know. Oh, the light is going to reveal. No, the light reveals that you are chosen, that you are royal, that you are holy, and that you are special. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what darkness you are experiencing in your life. I don't know if it's your fault or dumb luck. It doesn't matter. There is a light that we can follow. There is a light that we can submit to. There is a light of Jesus that we can come under, and it can change who we are. It can transform us. It can cleanse us. It can heal us, and it can get us out of this horrible thinking the devil wants us to have. If it feels like you're walking through the dark, if it feels like there's not a clear path, if it feels like there's some confusion and you're not really understanding, there is hope because of Jesus. As they start to sing, this is your opportunity to respond. Not to me, but to what God is speaking into your heart. I don't know where you're at, but there's a light. The darkness doesn't have to be in your life. The darkness doesn't have to rule your life. The confusion doesn't have to rule. If you will just raise your hands, if you will come to the front and pray, if you will pray where you're at, if you will seek God and say, God, I want to walk in that light. I want to follow what your word says, God. My choices keep leading me to darkness.